The Spotlight. Join us on The Spotlight, the program that highlights the inspiring journeys of UN volunteers across South Sudan. Discover their challenges, their achievements, and the impact they are making in the communities across the country. Tune in every Friday at 1 p.m. with a repeat on Sundays at 8 p.m. only on Radio Mira, the voice of peace.
Hello and welcome to the Spotlight program. I am Helen Toby and I will be with you in this episode of the Spotlight. Our guest today is Juliette Francois Bloy, a 28-year-old human rights officer with the Human Rights Division of ANMIS, currently serving in Rumbek Field Office. Originally from Montreal, Canada, Juliette holds a master's degree in international humanitarian law and human rights from the Geneva Academy, as well as a bachelor's degree in international relations and international law from the University of Quebec in Montreal. Outside her professional work, she enjoys hiking, swimming, and watercolor painting. Welcome, Juliette.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
What recollections do you have about your first day as a UNV in South Sudan?
Well, thank you for your question. So what I'd say I remember most from my first day in South Sudan is feeling completely overwhelmed, actually. I had no idea what to expect when I signed up for this journey, and everything felt so new. So I remember arriving early in the morning at the airport, and I remember stepping out of the airport and just trying to take it all in. And also, when I got into Tomping, I was finally seeing the camp that I had imagined so many times before. So, yes, and that first day, it was pretty quiet. I didn't do much besides walk around and try to get my bearings, grab something to eat. But I do remember that I was really eager to start working, even though I was exhausted from the traveling.
And separateness and this thing that you feel when you leave your country and your family, has the absence of your family affected you?
Yes, I mean, it's definitely been difficult. You know, I've been living away from my family for several years now. I left about 6 years ago for my studies, and I haven't really been back much apart from visits during holidays. So you'd think it's something that you could get used to over time, but for me, it really hasn't been that way. I still miss being close to them, especially the small everyday moments. I also feel guilty sometimes for missing important events like birthdays and holidays or family milestones. So it's not easy, but I found ways to stay connected, and I call them often. I probably spend way too much data on video calls, and I try to visit them whenever I can. So it's not the same as being there in person, but it helps.
While trying to reconnect with the family, what are the three best things you have done as a volunteer?
Three? Well, I don't know. Let's see. I think the first thing that comes to mind as a memorable thing I've done as a volunteer would be the first thing is training. I've delivered several trainings to the police, to SSNPS. The Human Rights Division often supports workshops organized by UNPOL, and I've had the chance to present on topics like administration of justice and rules around arrest and detention. And I really like those sessions, engaging with participants and asking questions, sparking discussions. And what really strikes me is that even though I'm the one presenting, I end up learning a lot too. And it's also really helped me understand how things work here and get a better feel for the local context. So that would be the first thing. And then a second thing that I can think of is that I had the opportunity to attend a training on monitoring and investigation of human rights violation. It was organized by the Human Rights Division here. And monitoring is really at the heart of what the division does, and learning directly from experienced colleagues was incredibly valuable. So they shared practical tools and tips that I've been able to apply in my work since then. And then third, well, honestly, I think just being part of the team and contributing wherever I can has been meaningful, whether it's, you know, helping with reports or supporting field visits. It's just, you know, the opportunity to be present and learn is really valuable to me.
In this journey of training others and learning from others, has it been easy?
Oh, wow. No, I mean, it definitely hasn't been easy. This is my first experience in a peacekeeping mission and also my first time working with the UN. So there was a lot to take in. Of course, the work has presented its challenges and there's a lot to learn. But to me, the biggest challenge wasn't really the work itself, but more the lifestyle, especially living and working in a field office. It's a very different environment from anything I had experienced before, and it took me a while to adjust. So, no, not easy. But it's a work in progress.
With all these challenges you're mentioning, what survival skills have you acquired that you think could be valuable to anybody aspiring to become a volunteer?
So I'd say for me, two big ones would be resourcefulness and autonomy. So these are useful anywhere, but I think in a setting like UNMISS, they're absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. So you do get support, especially, you know, in field offices where people, I think, they really look out for each other. But at the end of the day, you also need to be able to rely on yourself, whether it's figuring things out on the job or managing your personal life in a new environment. So, you really need to be able to know how to solve problems quickly and rely on yourself.
So, has your life changed by serving as a volunteer?
I mean, yes, of course. I think my life has changed because it's been one of the most unique experiences I've had. You know, I've had the chance to do things I'd never imagined I'd be doing while here. And what stands out the most is how different my daily life is compared to what my friends and family back home know. So it's hard to explain sometimes because very few people really understand what it's like to live and work in this kind of environment. Mm-hmm. So that difference has changed how I see things and how I approach challenges. So it's been a big learning curve, but it's also incredibly rewarding.
Now we'll go to the first break of this episode. Which song do you want us to play and why?
So the first song is called Forgive Me. It's by an artist named Saint Levant or Saint Levant. And my choice song is really just, it's about what I like music-wise and the kind of sounds. I really like this artist. I think he makes some really interesting music. So this is why.
Okay.
Listen, so I don't mind mixing my business and pleasure, cause me and my woman make money together. Mediterranean, I see the sweater, should be the I'm all, but I need to do better, cause I'm only half of the man I could be. But growth isn't scary to me, the lights, I look for that shit in my sleep. You know I'm good for it, cause le pays de mon enfance m'a appris l'humilité. L'Amérique m'a prescrit ma dignité, maman promis j'ai qu'une seule affinité. On est tous là grâce à des immigrés, chef of force, I will have fuck it, we not leave. Hey, they just tell me I'm dreaming. They thought I'd be in and out in the season. Now I'm on top of the world for a reason. You know that I don't wanna be great if I'm all alone. So mama, I might come back to the city that raised me. But mama, I lie, cause I kill a man to see you smile. So samahini, oh samahini. C'est notre amour risque de pas passer l'hiver. J'ai pas fait exprès, ça me hélite. J'ai lui fait de mes falostaines. J'passe mes journées au studio dans Paris, mais pas sur des Champs-Élysées. Quand la chance avait déserté, mais je l'ai coursé jusqu'à l'infini. Souvent je disais ne m'attends pas, y'a des blèmes mais ça ne m'atteint pas.
Rebe, faut que ton cœur je l'ai pris dans son. Que je sens, je ne t'ai jamais promis l'anneau. Et je taffe à pour un minimum. Ram, ça fait une erreur. Vu que le monde oublie les nôtres, on sera nous-mêmes l'étoile dans le ciel.
Tu you know why? I don't wanna be great if I'm on the low. So on my mind, come back to the city that raised me. But mama lie, 'cause I kill a man to see you smile. So what's I'm hating? Oh, I'm hating.
You're listening to the Spotlight program on Radio Miraya, and our guest today is Julien François Bolloué. Julien, what is it that attracted you to become a UN volunteer?
Well, I heard about the UNV program through friends and colleagues from university. Some of them had fulfilled mandates as UNVs with different missions or UN agencies. And they really told me that they had a good impression and they really liked their experiences. I was told it was a great opportunity and that the work was interesting. So that's why I decided to apply.
And what are the things that you feel profoundly touched by as a volunteer?
One of the things that I really like to do here is speaking with young members of the community, especially youth leaders and women involved in local associations. These are people that are full of energy and ideas and hope for the future of their country, and it's genuinely motivating to engage with them. These are people that work hard and often with limited resources to make a difference in their communities, and so being able to connect with them and to listen and learn from their experiences, it has definitely been one of the most meaningful parts of my time.
So, and your approach when you started?
Yeah, so when I start something new, I always try to spend some time just sitting back and observing. I think when you arrive in a new country, especially with a completely different culture and language and way of life than what you know, you really need time to absorb and learn. So I tried to stay open, I asked plenty of questions, and that I did the same for the work. I made a point to ask many questions to as many people as possible, to familiarize myself with the mission and my division and my team's work.
What was your first moment of serving as a volunteer? This could be something you did in your community back home or elsewhere.
It dates back to a long time ago. I think my first time volunteering, it was when I was in high school. I remember that every December, my school would collect donations like food, toiletries, and toys. And we packed them into what we called Christmas baskets. They were for families in need in the area. It's a very common thing for schools to do in Canada. And I remember volunteering with other students to sort everything and decide which toys to include in which baskets based on the age of the kids in each family. And that was definitely the most fun part. And then we'd also host a Christmas party at school and invite families, serve lunch and organize activities for the children. It was a simple initiative, but it made a big impression on me because it really showed me how small efforts can bring joy and make a real difference.
So you say that you started being a volunteer way back. So tell me about your most memorable moment as a UNV.
I think my most memorable moment here as a volunteer, it hadn't been long since I arrived. And one day there was a young girl, she was 14 years old, She came to the UNMES compound here in Bloembeck, and she came specifically to my office asking for help. She had just escaped her home after her family tried to force her into marriage. I remember she came alone, and we accompanied her to the one-stop center that's in Bloembeck town and explained all the options available to her and also explained to her what kind of support was available to her. And that moment really stayed with me because it put a face on the kinds of cases that we document here in the Human Rights Division. And it made everything feel very real. And it also reminded me why this work matters.
What part of this engagement did you like about it?
Well, I wouldn't say I liked it. I don't think there's any part that I really liked. It was in no way an enjoyable moment. But it's at least one of the moments where I've felt the most useful. I think it's the kind of moments where you really need to show up and not mess up.
So was there anybody in your circle who had ever done anything like this?
So, yes, the few people in my circle, especially people that I studied with in university, did volunteering. Like I mentioned earlier, I know several people who volunteered with the UN in similar positions. So that's what inspired me also to come here.
Okay, let's go for another break. Which song would you like us to play for you and why?
The second song I want to play is called Te Amo by Kalema. It's just a song that I've played on repeat a lot since I arrived here. And I'm also trying to learn Spanish now. So I'm listening to a lot of Spanish songs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Feli contigo eu assumo. Tu foste embora eu entendo. Mas fico tanto amor. Estou meio sem planos. Preciso ouvir. Ouvir que me queres. Sentir que ainda me queres. Que não foi desta que acabou. Todos falam de ti. De como fui bobo. Te perdi por tão pouco. Tu sabes que eu te amo. Não há espaço para mais ninguém. Eu não agi certo, não agi. Mas preciso de ti, é. Preciso ouvir. Preciso ouvir que me queres. Sentir que ainda me queres. E não é desta que acabou. Todos falam de ti. De como fui um bobo. Que te perdi por tão pouco.
Eu estou
não chanto ouvir que tu não me queres, que já não me amas. Diz como é que eu fico.
This is the Spotlight program on Radio Miraya. My name is Helen Toby, and today our guest is Julien François Bolloy on the Spotlight. Julien, how does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suit you?
Well, to be honest, adapting was a bit tough for me. It still is sometimes. The limited freedom can be a bit overwhelming. I'm someone that's really used to walking or biking everywhere back home, and I really miss that sense of mobility. And also, like we talked about earlier, but being away from family is another challenge that hits hard. But over time, you start to adjust. And to me, what really makes a difference is the people. They're welcoming and supportive, and they make life here feels more like a community, really. And that's what helps you settle in, even when things aren't easy.
So if you were stranded on an island, what luxury would you take?
I would probably choose a book. I don't know which one, but, you know, to have something to do. Either that or a Swiss knife.
So who are the people that have been so influential in your life?
I would say definitely my parents, first and foremost. They've always been my biggest motivators. They pushed me to aim higher and then showed me what success can look like through their own example. But I've also been really inspired by some of my friends, especially more recently. Their drive and their curiosity and the way they throw themselves into new challenges, it's almost contagious. They're constantly exploring new ideas and working hard to make things happen. And that kind of energy, seeing that kind of energy, really pushed me to try to do the same. And quite frankly, without their encouragement, I'm not sure I would have had the courage to take this leap or pursue this career path that I'm on. So I'd say it's a mix of both.
So how can you describe your relationship with the community where you work in?
I think it's a good relationship that I'm still working every day to build. It takes time to really get used to a place and to meet communities and people. So I'm still finding my footing and learning how things work here. But every day I get to know more people, and those connections start to grow. And I'm also learning a lot about the culture, about how people communicate and what matters to them here and how they support each other. And that's been really eye-opening. So, you know, I think building trust takes time, and I'm trying to show up every day, you know, consistently to really try to strengthen these relationships.
And how about your parents? How have your parents dealt with your career and success?
They've dealt well. I think sometimes they don't understand what it is that I'm doing so far from home. Especially in a country that's not very stable like South Sudan. But overall, I'm lucky that I have their support.
So what would you have been if you hadn't become what you are today, like at this moment?
I have no idea. again, like the other question, I'm a bit indecisive. Mm-hmm. I have many interests, so there are just so many fascinating things to explore in this world. It's hard to pick just one path. But I'd say I've always felt drawn to nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe if I hadn't ended up where I am now, I might have gone into something like climate science or wildlife conservation. I really I admire the work that is done in those fields, especially nowadays with all these climate issues and climate change. I find these kinds of nature science really important. And I have a lot of respect for people that work in this field. So perhaps that.
Okay. And are you happy with how you've spent your time? Can you look at the point of 50 and say, yeah, time well spent?
Well, I hope so. I do think so also. You know, I'd been wanting to do something like this this UNV for a very long time, but it took me a while to motivate myself to do it and then to also just obtain the opportunity to do so. So I think no matter what's in store for me later, I'm grateful I landed here at this point in my life. I haven't been here for that long. You know, I've been here for 8 months or so, and I've already learned a lot, both professionally and personally, and met so many really cool people that have taught me things. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that...
You earlier say that if you were stranded on a desert, the luxury that you'll carry probably would be a book. So every guest on the Spotlight is given a chance to choose a book. Which book would you like to read in your fields or in your assignments?
Well, I'd like to read a book that my father gifted me for Christmas last year. It's called The Secret Society by Donna Tartt. It's apparently like a mystery, murder mystery novel. I haven't got around to reading it yet, and I know my dad will ask me how good it was next time I see him. Mm-hmm. So I think this is what I'd like to read here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Julie Francois Bluin, for joining us on the Spotlight program today.
Thank you very much for having me. It was lovely to talk to you.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is the Spotlight program, and we've come to the end. My name is Helen Toby. Until next time, goodbye.
Always been loud in the quiet way. I always feel alone in the crowded place. I always wanna stay, wanna go, wanna stay, wanna go. I don't know, I don't know. I get sad on my birthday. I wanna talk back worst way. I always wanna stay, wanna go, wanna stay, wanna go. I don't know what to say. I wanna throw it all away. I feel like a zombie. I'll die at the party. Yeah, you'll find my body fully covered in confetti. I'll try calling somebody to tell them come get me, but you'll find my body fully covered in confetti. Singing la da da da.
People, they're crazy. Look at the people, they're crazy.